The views and opinions expressed on my story, Living with Lupus Podcast, represents each person's individual experience. By listening to this podcast or reading our blog, you agree not to use this podcast or blog as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. As always, consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. My Story Living with Lupus Podcast is officially trademarked, all rights reserved. Thank you for joining me for another episode of My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. I'm Susan Hendricks, your host. On today's episode, June 18th, 2021, it's the latest in healthcare news from a doctor, a black doctor, I should say, of Kenyan descent, won a $2.75 million verdict against Florida's second largest employer in a discrimination lawsuit. Then guess what a judge did? You'll find out. Also, Association of California's prescription drug coupon ban with generic drug use. That's right. And also, Houston Methodist sued over COVID vax mandate. You know what I want you to do? All the way from the United States to Lagos, Nigeria. That's right. Get ready to grab your cup of coffee, your cup of tea, and to my listeners late at night. Now you know I appreciate you. So go ahead, go on, grab your favorite glass of wine, and come on and join the conversation right here on My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. If you would like to appear on an episode of My Story Living with Lupus, you can contact us at mystorylivingwithlupus@gmail.com. Also, visit us on our Instagram page and also our website, My Story Living with Lupus. And we're back. The first topic and the latest topic in healthcare news is that a black doctor of Kenyan descent won a $2.75 million verdict against Florida's second largest employer in a discrimination lawsuit. And guess what happened? A judge overruled the jury. That's right. Late last month, a Florida jury awarded a $2.75 million verdict for Dr. Roop, a doctor of Kenyan descent who won a lawsuit accusing an Adventist Health System hospital of discriminating against him because of his race and national origin. Then, in an unusual development a week later, a judge vacated the jury's multi-million dollar judgment against Adventist, the state's second largest employer. Now, the attorney for Dr. Roop Jerry Gurley described how that case reminds them of a lesser remembered part of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. That's the passage about the proverbial Bank of Justice. Now, Gurley, the attorney for the doctor, had been alluding to Dr. King's immortal speech during the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom on August 28th, 1963. Now, in a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. That's what Dr. King stated, alluding to the promissory note bequeathed by the framers of the U.S. Constitution. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men, as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, too often people of color, King added, that note was a bad check that comes back marked insufficient funds. A Kenyan native, Dr. Root, pursued his radiology residency in Florida Hospital, run by the state's largest employer, Adventus. He says he graduated medical school in 2012 before being accepted for a radiology residency that year, that next year. Then, during his third year in the program, Dr. Rupp was diagnosed with severe pernicious anemia, and he says that his employer would not accommodate his condition. Worse, Rupp's superiors falsely accused him of laziness and drug abuse through racial stereotypes, the doctor alleged. Now, apparently, they made an assumption that I smoked weed and I overheard an attending saying, "Oh, he needs to stop smoking weed," Roop recounted. So here am I am having a disease that could easily kill me. It's a cheap disease to diagnose. It's very cheap to treat, but it kills people. In 2017, Roop sued the parent company in the Ninth Judicial Circuit in Orange County, Florida, ultimately winning a sizable verdict following a week-long trial. Then, a week later, Judge Kevin Wise of the Ninth Judicial Circuit in Florida overruled the jury's decision, finding there were legitimate non-discriminatory and non-retaliatory reasons for Dr. Roop's dismissal. The four-page verdict did not state what those reasons were. And the judge did not explain why he believed he found the hospital's stated rationale persuasive enough to overturn a 6-person's jury's findings following a week-long trial. Now, Adventists did not have a motion at the time asking Judge Weiss to vacate the judgment. Currently appealing the decision, Roop and his attorney Gurley want to reinstate the verdict that the judge vacated, and attorney Gurley says, make sure King's Bank of Justice operates for his client. Now, how often have people with chronic illnesses, especially invisible chronic illnesses such as lupus, has been discriminated against with their employer? How many times have we heard the phrase, you don't look sick, you look perfectly fine? Or when you finally come out and state, I have a chronic illness, lupus, and some days are like a roller coaster. I never know when I may be in a flare. You know, I had an employer who I had informed of my lupus diagnosis, and then he in turn told me I was a liability to him and it would cost too much for me to be insured by him. And in turn, I told him I quit. Yes, I did. And I sought legal advice. But how many times have we gone through this? Up next, we'll be discussing Association of California's prescription drug coupon ban with generic drug use. So stay with me. All right. And I'm back, and it's all about the latest in healthcare news. Now, you know, drug manufacturers sometimes offer co-payment coupons to offset patient out-of-pocket cost. Although coupons can help patients afford necessary medications, they increase overall drug spending by encouraging use of expensive brand name drugs over less expensive generics. Coupons are prohibited by Medicare and Medicaid, but they are available for commercially insured patients. Several states are considering restricting coupon use to promote generic substitution and control drug spending. Now, in October 2017, California passed a law that banned use of co-payment coupons for brand name drugs once interchangeable generic versions of those products have become available. Now, they investigated how generic substitution changed in California after its law took effect in January 2018. Now, they identified brand name drugs facing first time generic competition from 2014 through October of 2016, excluding clinician-administered drugs, archive manufacturer websites, and an online drug coupon database were searched to identify whether the manufacturer for each drug offered a copayment coupon after generic competition began through December 2018. Now, the findings are less pronounced than a prior study that found that a similarly limited coupon ban in Massachusetts was associated with 3.4% higher generic use for 23 drugs compared with New Hampshire. The prior study using data from 2007 to 2010 had lower baseline generic substitutions and did not control for within-state changes before and after the Massachusetts legislation. Study limitations included that only 15 coupon-covered drugs with recent generic competition were assessed, although older drugs would be expected to have even higher levels of baseline generic substitution and consequently less room for improvement from a policy intervention. The effect of the California law may have increased beyond the first year, especially if some pharmacies were slow to change practices. The data set included approximately 10% of California's commercially insured population, but may not be representative. The California law targets the 8% to 13% of drugs offering coupons that have direct generic competitors. Broader coupon bans offer greater potential to promote use of cost-saving generics, but they could raise patient out-of-pocket costs and lower adherence. States may consider pairing broader coupon bans with reforms to protect patients from facing excessive cost sharing for essential medicines. When we return, we'll be discussing Houston Methodist sued over COVID vax mandate. So stay with me for more latest in healthcare news. On June 13th, 2021, we passed out hot meals and clothing and personal care items to those in need in the city of Highland Park, Michigan, via the Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendricks Foundation. We are asking for your help. We are in need of blankets, men's clothing, men's undergarments, women's clothing, and women's undergarments. If you would like to help the foundation in their cause, making sure that no one lives in lack, contact Susan at cemphfoundation.com. Or you can send in your monetary donation via the foundation's website at https://cemphfoundation.com. The Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendrix Foundation for Chronic Illness Awareness, giving hope and empowering those who suffer with chronic illness. See one, reach one, educate one to empower the masses. You can contact the foundation at 313-303-9217 or visit their website at https://cemphfoundation.com. This is a 501c3 organization. No one should live in lack. All contributions are tax deductible. More than 100 current and former employees of Houston Methodist are suing the medical system for mandating that employees get vaccinated against the virus or face termination. Houston Methodist, a 7-hospital system, is being charged with wrongful discharge and violating a federal law dictating that where a medical product is unapproved, then no one may be mandated to take it, according to the lawsuit shared with MedPage Today. The 117 plaintiffs say they have been adversely and irrevocably harmed by the illegal policy and are asking for a temporary injunction against firings related to the vaccine policy and requesting a declaration to invalidate the policy altogether. The suit cites a Texas exemption that allows an employee to sue for wrongful termination if he is fired for the sole reason that he refused to perform an illegal act, and argues that plaintiffs have suffered lost wages, loss of earnings capacity, lost benefits, lost future earnings, mental anguish, inconvenience, and loss of enjoyment of life due to Houston Methodist carrying out the policy. Among the plaintiffs are Jennifer Bridges, a nurse at Baytown Hospital, who has spoken out against the policy and refused to follow it, and Bob Nevins, the system's former corporate risk compliance director. For the first time in the history of the United States, an employer is forcing an employee to participate in an experimental vaccine trial as a condition for continued employment, the suit claims. Well, Houston Methodist is requiring employees to be injected with an experimental vaccine, mRNA, gene modification injection, or be fired, and forcing them to be human guinea pigs as a condition for continued employment. The suit acknowledges that FDA has issued an emergency use authorization, better known as EUA, for the virus. And we all know what virus I'm speaking of, vaccines. But an EUA is not an FDA approval. It notes there is much the FDA does not know about these products. Further studies need to be done, and plaintiffs should not be forced to participate in these dangerous trials as a condition for employment. The suit cites the employees to prisoners of concentration camps during World War II, who did not consent to having Nazi doctors experiment on them. This, as a matter of fact, is a gene modification medical experiment on human beings performed without informed consent. It is a severe and blatant violation. Houston Methodist and many public health experts have noted that the vaccines for the virus are as safe and effective as other common vaccines, including the flu vaccine, which the hospital system mandated for employees in 2009. Jared Woodfield of the Woodfield Law Firm in Houston is representing the plaintiffs. They are suing the Houston Methodist system, including the Woodlands Hospital in the District Court of Montgomery County, a suburban county just north of downtown Houston. Houston Methodist became the first major healthcare system in the United States to mandate all its employees get vaccinated in early April, according to CEO Mark Boom, MD. The policy was enacted to set an example and better protect clinical employees and patients. In late April, Boom announced that employees would be suspended and eventually fired if they did not meet vaccination deadlines set for at least a few weeks out. Houston Methodist typically has been administering the mRNA-based Pfizer BioNTech shot. Now, the system is allowing employees to apply for religious or medical exemptions, but the suit claims Houston Methodist has arbitrarily denied such exemptions. Nevins confirmed this in May's conversation with MedPage Today. Exemptions are reviewed by a committee, countered Boom in a May email to MedPage. We offer them in accordance with EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Guidelines. Now, Boom recently penned an editorial in MedPage Today, further explaining the system's rationale for the vaccine requirement. More than 97% of the system's 26,000 employees have been vaccinated, it reported. Since Houston's Methodist announced its mandate, at least two other large healthcare systems have announced similar mandates. Bridges has also launched a GoFundMe page to raise attorney fees and started an online petition against the policy. Now, as of May the 31st, nearly 8,500 people had signed the petition and more than $24,000 had been contributed via the GoFundMe page by more than 300 people. Now, to me, I can see, well, how can I say this? I can see both sides, but I'm leaning towards the employee side more than the employer's side. They have a right to reject an experimental drug. And yes, they are being treated as human guinea pigs. Now, when it comes down to you either do this to, if you want to stay employed, and we all know that during the time of the pandemic and people were unemployed, you have families, you have mouths to feed, you have rent, you have car note, you have tuition for private school, you have daycare expenses, you have medical expenses, you have people depending on you as a breadwinner. And you're caught between a rock and a hard place. And sometimes it's better to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. And I'm happy that these employees stood up for what they believed in. This drug, this experimental drug, was gene altering, if I'm not mistaken. I'm looking for it now. Yes, there was mental anguish on the plaintiffs, which are the employees, for lost wages, wondering, how am I going to feed my kids or do this or that? The enjoyment of life was lost, and I would have done the same as these employees did to their employer. I would have stood up and said, you cannot make me take something that has not been FDA approved. Hey. And then the employer, yes, you wrongfully discharged them. Now, I can understand that you want to keep the patients safe along with the employees being safe. But there was a better way to go about these, about this. Using an experimental vaccine on employees, hey, you using them as guinea pigs, come on. And it was a gene modification injection, experimental. You was experimenting on your employees. You know, I think some employers truly forget who really make the healthcare system, along with other businesses, thrive. And that's the employees. You know, you think it's the people at the top if it was not for your employees? My friends, those at the top would not have a job. You think about that. You care less about the lives of your employees, and you think more about your bottom line. That's the gist of it for me. You need to take care of your employees more, and maybe you would retain qualified employees longer. You know, better yet, people that work in the healthcare system are burnt out. Come on, let's be for real about it. And you put this type of demand on them, either you do it or you're out of here. You lose your job. Hey, that vaccine was unapproved by the FDA. It is a big difference between emergency, the EUA, the emergency use authorization, and approval by the FDA. You know, you forget that these vaccines have to go through clinical trials, and they take a long time. But it is also each individual's choice whether they would take it or not. For the ones who took it, they were probably under pressure and had no other choice but to take it because they did not want to lose their job because of their responsibility. Hey, it's hard out here. You know, they're trying to figure out, if I don't take it, how am I going to feed my kids? And I believe that the employer knew that they had some employees over a barrel. They knew exactly which ones were going to do it, but they didn't know which ones were not. So I stand with the employees for not taking this experimental gene altering vaccine. That has been your latest in healthcare news. What are your thoughts? Well, it's that time. It's that time for me to go. By the time you're listening to this, I will be at the hospital doing other tests. That's right, I'm having problems with my heart again, along with I'm experiencing swollen lymph nodes again. Now, I want to leave you with this. Life challenges are not supposed to paralyze you. They're supposed to help you discover who you are. That's right. Don't go through life. Grow through life. What you do makes a difference. And you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make. I'm Susan Hendricks, your host for My Story, Living with Lupus podcast. Have a most peaceful, positive, safe, and oh, so blessed weekend. I'll see you next week for another episode.